Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Geoffrey Pilgrim to begin a further chapter of Office Wife. I've been married to Marcia a little less than a year. But at the rate I'm going, I'll never understand her in 90 years. After making the very dickens of a fuss about Stella coming on this second interstate trip of mine, Marcia suddenly turned around last night and said she wasn't coming to stop, and she was quite happy about Stella and me going by ourselves. I tell you, it's fantastic. And I can't get any sense out of her, except to say she's been invited to some fool of a reception, and she's not going to miss it. I give up. They say you can never understand women, and as far as I'm concerned, truer words were never spoken. Oh, hello, Harry. Come along in, if you must.
When are you off here, boy? Wednesday?
That's right. Half today and tomorrow for Marcia to change her mind. What do you make of it, Harry?
My dear chap, I'm in the dark as much as you are.
But it's so unlike Marcia. She's always been frantically jealous. I can scarcely mention Stella's name generally, but now she blithely announces that it's quite all right as far as she's concerned for me to cart Stella off for a fortnight.
It could be that she's seeing sweet reason for the first time.
You know, if I didn't trust her implicitly, I'd be inclined to think... Oh, no, that's a lot of rot.
What is?
What I was thinking.
Look, Geoffrey, old chap, stop following the brow and take Marcia at face value. She wanted to go, now she wants to stay and go to a party instead.
No, it's a reception.
I don't care if it's a school concert. The fact remains that you have your dearly beloved sanctioned to whiz off over the hills and far away with your secretary.
I'm not complaining. I'm baffled.
Oh, don't have a gift horse in the mouth, old boy. Marcia can still do another switcheroo. And maybe she's only testing your reactions, anyway.
Yeah, it could be. Oh, I only hope I get some peace at home when I get back.
Marcia could scarcely complain. She's staying here of her own free will and accord.
Marcia, my dear good chap, doesn't need logical reasons to complain. Least of all about Stella Bronson. I wonder how I could get out of taking her.
Who's Stella?
Yeah.
Now, look here. You wouldn't be such a blithering ass. Of course you must take Stella.
You sound very definite about it. Why?
Well, hang it, it'd be damn silly not to. You wouldn't be such a fool. It's all settled. You have to take her. You have to, Jeff.
You sound as though you wanted Stella away with me for reasons of your own. Do you, Harry?
No, of course not.
You know, I couldn't possibly tell you why, but I have the vaguest feeling that there's something fishy behind all this. Couldn't give me a clue, could you?
Would I be keeping quiet if I knew anything? Talk sense, Jeff. I sincerely hope you don't think I'm playing tricks on you.
Palmer, old boy. So do I.
Mr. Pilgrim's office. Yes, Mrs. Tennant, he's here. It's the bag.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Angela. Oh, are you doing anything for lunch? Well, what about gnawing a bone somewhere with me? Yes, I do want to see you about something in particular. Hmm? No, I'll tell you when I see you.
You want me outside, Jeff?
Oh, no, it's all right. Hmm? No, no, I was talking to Stella. All right, 1:10 at the Ambassador. Sure, Angela.
Before I forget, Jeff, seeing that Marcia is not going with you, shall we travel in the same plane?
Oh, good Lord. Benny Puller will think we're heading straight for the snake pit.
That is awkward, isn't it?
No, it's worse than awkward. No, oh, all right, you'd better ask Puller to cancel your seat and you can have Marcia's.
About all we can do. I mean, what sort of apes are we going to look if we go on different flights?
I know. Anyway, I'll leave it to you to talk to Puller. It'll make him moderate his language, if nothing else.
I'll handle him. Jeff, why isn't Marcia going?
She's been invited to a reception. Very corny.
Oh, really? Is that her only reason?
As far as I'm aware. Why should you care to Continental?
I'm awfully sorry if it's my fault.
Look here, Stella. Why the devil should you think every change in my domestic affairs is due to you?
I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Well, try not to in future.
I shan't.
Thanks.
Anytime.
No. Don't. I'll let you and me start bickering. I'm getting enough from other directions.
You going out now?
For Pete's sake, how often do I wear my hat in the office? If I'm wanted urgently, I'll be at the ambassador's. I'll be back about 2:30. Now, you can make that about 3.
Gone to lunch, back at 3. Weather overcast.
Right. Stella.
What?
Sorry to bark at you. I'm kind of on edge.
Yes. The razor's edge. Only you knew it.
Hi.
Hi.
When's he coming back?
3.
Everything under control?
Uh-huh. We're traveling on the same plane.
Good. He's just a little bit suspicious, but who cares? He couldn't possibly catch on to what's cooking.
Lord help us if he does. Geoffrey has a nice, sweet nature, but I'd hate to be in his way if he got really savage. Does he keep himself fit?
Yes, he's pretty hearty.
He'd tear you to pieces, Harry.
But he'd have to be psychic, darling. Why don't you relax?
Jeff's strung up like a lute string, and he's funny like that. He seems to communicate his moods. He does to me, anyway.
Stella, you're going through with this, aren't you?
Of course I'm going through with it. Why?
When people gibber about communicating moods, there's generally more to it than meets the eye.
If you're trying to make out that I'm still keen on Jeff Pilgrim, it's you who's doing the gibbering. Shut up, Harry. You're getting me down.
Stir up. We only have to wait a couple more days.
Well, thank heaven for that. Go on, leave me alone. I don't want to see even you today.
Angela, you know a Mrs. Timothy Ifold, don't you?
Yes, why?
Well, Marcy was supposed to be coming away with me for a fortnight. But last night, she suddenly changed her mind.
Oh, we must tell Mrs. Ifold that. She'd be fascinated. What's the score?
Well, Marcia's story is that she decided not to make the trip with me because of this Mrs. Ifold's reception. Well, to me, that sounds like so much balderdash.
Well?
You know the Ifolds pretty well, and Marcia doesn't. I thought you could possibly tell me why Marcia was invited in the first place.
Well, she has nice clothes, and she knows which fork to use. That's all you need for Mrs. Ifold's reception.
Then why should Marcia turn down a fortnight in the West to spend one afternoon at a reception in the suburbs?
Why don't you ask Marcia?
Oh, don't you think I have?
Oh, well, listen, dear boy, I can't tell you a thing. And I don't know that I would if I could. You're Marcia's husband. I don't know if you realize just what this looks like, running about like a hairy goat checking up on your wife. What you want is a private detective. I could recommend a good one. My last 3 husbands used him.
You've finished your lunch, haven't you, Angela?
Yes, thanks. I'll pay my half if you like.
Come on. Can I drive you anywhere?
No, thanks. I'll get a cab.
Well, will you excuse me?
Certainly. But just a parting word. If I seem less than cordial, Jeff, it's because I don't like double-crossing husbands. I'm sure you understand what I mean.
You drink too much, Angela. I hope you enjoyed your lunch. You wanted to see me, Mr. Fleming. I'm sorry I'm late, Baxter.
Oh, that's all right, Jeff. Sit down. Benny Puller was on the phone a few minutes back, yelling and shouting.
Oh, yes, I know, sir. He probably wanted to know why I couldn't make a plane and hotel reservation and stick to it.
Precisely. What's the matter, Jeff? This is the second time, you know.
I'm sorry, sir. That's all I can say.
It seems to be your women folk. Puller says Marcia is not going.
That's correct.
Look, Jeff, I'm a man of the world. I can turn a blind eye and so forth, but this firm has a very high standing in the city.
Just a minute, Mr. Fleming. What's this about your blind eye?
Well, my dear fellow, you're a married man.
Who's more aware of it than I am?
Now, don't get up in the air with me, Jeff.
Mr. Fleming, I'm a reasonably efficient business executive. My personal standing is as high as the business standing of this firm. My domestic and business ethics I earnestly believe to be above reproach, and I'm financially sound enough not to be frightened of losing my job. I am therefore asking you to stop making cryptic remarks and say straight out just what you're talking about.
Well, really, Pilgrim, I've never been spoken to like this before. Really, I'm sure Mr. Bendigo would never approve.
I'm in a maze of circumstances I don't understand, sir. And I'm not going to stand on ceremony. Why have you asked me up here?
It's because we... all right. It's because I'm not satisfied about your conduct with Miss Bronson.
May I ask what you know about my conduct with Stella Bronson? Or think you know?
That's the trouble, Jeff. I can't put my finger on anything definite, and I can't make up my mind one way or another.
Very well, sir. Do you want my resignation?
Oh, dear me, dear me. Nothing of the kind. Good heavens above.
Then if you don't want me to leave the firm, sir, I'll make up your mind about my conduct for you. I don't know what you've heard, and I don't care. There's not a word of truth in it.
Well, Jeff, I was only...
I'm making this trip for Mr. Puller, and Stella Bronson's coming with me. If there's any talk when we get back, I expect you to round up every person concerned and thrash the matter out. Now, do you think that's fair, sir?
Yes. Well, yes, I suppose that's fair enough.
May I go now, sir?
Yes. Now, hold on, Jeff. I don't want you to think that there's anything personal in this. Oh, damn. Well, I never. I didn't think Jeff Pilgrim had a temper like that. Chaps only get wild as that when they're indignant or when they're covering up a guilty conscience. Which is it in Jeff's case? I really think I should have a word with President Bendigo. He's involved with the business and with Marcia. Dear, dear me.
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.